you to stand with us. Turn to number 258. 258. When my soul is singing in that promised land above, I'll be satisfied. Praising Christ the Savior for redeeming grace and love, I'll be satisfied. I'll be satisfied. I'll be satisfied. When my soul is resting in the presence of the Lord, I'll be satisfied. Living in a city where the soul shall never die, I'll be satisfied. There to meet with loved ones nevermore to say goodbye, I'll be satisfied. I'll be satisfied. I'll be satisfied. When my soul is resting in the presence of the Lord, I'll be satisfied. When I meet the ransom over on the golden shore, I'll be satisfied. There I'll join the angels singing praises evermore, I'll be satisfied. I'll be satisfied. I'll be satisfied. When my soul is resting in the presence of the Lord, I'll be satisfied.
Okay. Do you want everyone out? Okay. Everyone that has served in the armed forces, it's been requested that we have a recognition. So if you would at this time, please stand. All you, please stand. We're going to go ahead in light of what Brother Lowe brought before us. We're going to go ahead at this time and take a vote. All in favor of calling off prayer meeting Wednesday evening due to it being the 4th of July and having Brother Joey do his presentation 2 weeks from this Wednesday. Would you please raise your hand if you're in favor of that? All right. Anybody want to vote otherwise? All right, we won't have any prayer meeting then this Wednesday evening. Also, Brother Lowe also asked me to let everyone know that he did put Sister Reese's address on the bulletin board. So if you want to send Sister Reese a card this week, but you need her address, it is posted on the bulletin board, and you can get that after service. I'm very thankful for, again, for everyone who has served our country, who those who paid the ultimate price. There was a lot of bloodshed that was done in purchasing our freedom. There was blood that was shed to purchase our spiritual freedom. When I served in the military, I was never really put in the situation of whether or not I would have to, you know, perhaps give my life. Some of these brethren that stood today, they were. I've always thought that, and I've always thought about this, especially when it comes to the things of the Lord, because we never know what's going to happen. One thing that we know, that when those that paid the price for our for the religious freedom that we have here in our country, it never came with a guarantee that we would always have it. And we don't know if we always will or not. But I've always thought that, you know, if we're ever called upon, I've always thought about this in regard to myself, ever being called upon to be willing to make that sacrifice, to be willing to give up life to preserve what we love and care for, I pray that God will give me the grace to do it. I told somebody a long time ago, I said, the Bible teaches me that I've got to die one time. It's appointed unto men once to die. And I've got one opportunity at that, one time to do that. And I pray that however it happens, I pray that God will help me to do it well. I want to die in a way that God will be honored, in a way that God will be pleased. And so I'm thankful for our freedom today. That's not really the thought that I want to preach about today. The Lord has given me something else, but I did want to say those things. If you have your Bibles today and would like to read with me, please turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And I want to begin reading with verse 1, and I do ask a great interest in your prayers today. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease, because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourner, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. I'm going to stop reading there. That's reading for my scripture lesson today from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. I want to use for a title today, Dust to Dust. And really don't even know how to put this. Sometimes I almost chuckle. I was listening to another program this week about the Bible. And they were talking about the fall of the walls of Jericho. And they were talking about some of the archaeological finds concerning that, and people were coming on giving their different views and different opinions about things. And I listened to something like this not too long ago, another documentary about the parting of the Red Sea when Moses and the Israelites were there at the Red Sea. And I've listened to the scientists give their views on it, and it seems like that with every one of these wonderful, phenomenal things that have happened, they say it was an earthquake. I mean, that's what they keep saying. They say an earthquake caused the Red Sea to divide. An earthquake caused the walls of Jericho to fall. And I sat and thought about that, and I thought, well, okay, so at the precise time that Israel needed to get across that sea, at the precise time when Joshua and the Israelites were marching around Jericho, here comes this earthquake and divides the sea and knocks the walls down. They just don't want to admit that God is in control. And it just amazes me that, you know, the things that men will say. And I thought about, you know what, even if an earthquake produced it, the Bible gives us plenty of evidence that God controls the earthquakes. God has used the earthquakes in the Bible several different times to accomplish different purposes. God created man from the dust of the earth. From the dust of the ground, God created man. And I felt like when I studied this today and thought about coming before you today to deliver this message, I thought about how that I wanted to say this again, especially to the young people here today. I want to tell you that no matter what anybody tells you, whether it is a beloved teacher that you may have or whoever that it is, no matter what anybody may tell you or may try to convince you of, I want you to embrace this truth that God made you. That you did not evolve from some other life form. I've always wondered why, and of course, I have a very simple mind, and that's the way my mind works, but I've always wondered why that all these people that say that that man evolved from the ape, I've always wondered why are there still apes? I mean, why are there men and apes? Why haven't all of them evolved? It's ridiculous, isn't it? It's stupidity, really. I want you to know today that God made you. God is your creator. And the Bible tells us that in the book of Genesis, the Bible tells us that the Lord God took from the dust of the ground, that the Lord God formed man, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And I want to encourage all of you sometime to study that breath of life. It's really an amazing study. God put spirit into a person. He breathed into that man the breath of life, and then when that had taken place, when God had formed man from the dust and then had breathed into him the breath of life, it was at that point that man became a living soul. It wasn't at the point that God formed him from the dust. That was the beginning of the God's process of creating man. He formed him from the dust. He made the outward shell. He made the body. He made Adam's body from the dust. And then he breathed that spirit life, he breathed that breath of life into him, and then he became a living, functioning human being. Now, God told Adam, after that he had sinned, God told Adam in the third chapter of Genesis, you can find it recorded, that I believe it's perhaps verse 19. God told Adam, he said, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread until you return to the ground, for from it thou wast taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt thou return. And that's what Solomon was saying here in these verses that I read before you in verse 7. He is saying what God had told Adam years before this was written. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. So God told Adam, after that he had sinned, after he had disobeyed God, God told him, he said, you're gonna eat your bread, you're gonna labor and eat bread in the sweat of your face, and you're gonna do it until you return to the ground from where you were taken. Now, when God spoke that to Adam, I want you to understand today that he, when he told him that he would return to the dust from where he was taken, that he was only talking about the outward part of him returning to the dust. You see, when God formed man from the dust of the ground, he formed the outward man. He formed the body. He made the body of man from the dust of the ground. That spirit that was placed within man, God did not make it from the dust. He breathed it into him. And so he told him that you were taken from the ground and you're going to return to the ground. And he was talking to about the body that Adam had was going to one day, because of death, would one day return to the dust from where it was taken. But that spirit that God breathed into him, I heard it put this way one time, and I'll just quote a small portion of it in a poem. There was a poem that was written that said, from dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt go, was never spoken to the soul. And it wasn't. The soul does not return to dust. I'm going to stand before you today, and I'm going to say that I don't believe in man's theory of soul sleeping. I don't believe it. I don't believe the soul of man ever goes to the grave. I don't believe when we die that and they place us in the grave, I don't believe that that spirit within us goes to the grave. It returns to God from where it was given. Listen, when that soul departs that body, it's going to go wherever it's prepared to go. God will place it wherever it is supposed to be. Those that are saved will dwell in heaven with God eternally. Those that are not will dwell in hell, separated from God for eternity. But that spirit of man, friends, we are eternal beings. Thank God that we are eternal beings. Thank God that, you know, I would sure hate to think that my entire being was going to one day return to dust and I'd be nothing. I've thought a lot of times about, there have even been through the years, there have even been people in the name of religion, different religious movements that have believed that people, certain people anyway, go back to nothing when they die, go back to a state of non-existence when they die. Thank God that it's not that way. What would we do if it were not for immortality? That'd be miserable, wouldn't it? We'd just be living here on the earth a few short times, and then it would be as if we never existed. I'm thankful for what Paul wrote about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. He said, "For which cause we faint not, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." I know today, as I stand before you, I know that I'm dust. It's always been amazing to me what God was able to do with dust. It amazes me when I look at the human family today and I look at all of the things that the human race is doing and all of the things that the human race has done through the years. And I think about that and I realize that God made all of this from dust that he took off the ground. Look at all of the things that man has built. God gave man dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over the beasts of the field. God gave man dominion over all of them. God gave man the ability to reason. He gave man the ability to feel. He gave us emotions. And God gave us so many things. And look at the things that the human beings of this world have done since the time of their existence. And then think that we are walking, talking, working, breathing, moving, motivating, dust. That's what we are. We're dust. I know they say the body, from a biological standpoint, they talk about the body being made up, being two-thirds water. Well, I'll tell you what we are. We're dust. No matter what, biologically or anything else, we're dust. That's what God made us from, and that's what we are, and that's where we came from, and that's where these bodies are going one day when we give up the ghost back to the dust. That's all right with me. How you feel about it today? That's all right with me. The thought of my body one day returning to dust doesn't bother me at all, to be perfectly honest with you. There was a time in my life that it did. There was a period of time for about the first 18 years that I was alive, and especially through my teenage years when I became convicted of my sin and knew I was a lost sinner before the Lord, there was a period of space there that the thought of that really bothered me. The thought of dying and going back to the dust really frightened me and bothered me, but that doesn't bother me anymore because God took care of that. God took that fear out of my heart when he saved my soul. And, one of these days, the dust can have this body that I'm living in. It can go back to the dust, and that's fine with me because I know that when it does, God's going to raise me up anyway, and he's going to give me a new body one of these days that never will die. Let this sinful body go back to the dust. It'll have to be done in order for God to change me into what he's going to change me into. And those of you that have been saved, Paul said, this mortal will have to put on immortality. That change will have to be made, won't it? Solomon here was writing about, and I'm not going to go into all this and go through each one of these from Ecclesiastes 12. I'm just going to say this, And you go and you study it for yourself, and I'm sure that many of you already have and are well aware of this, but Solomon was talking about the aging process. He was talking about the weakening of the body. He was talking about the dimming of the eyes. He was talking about the legs getting weak, the arms getting weak. He was talking about the time that would come when the ears wouldn't hear as good as they used to hear. He was talking about the aging process. I'm convinced that it's a result of sin. He was talking about the aging process that we go through on our way from the cradle to the grave. And friends, that's a swift journey. At its best, that's a very swift journey. But that's exactly what Solomon was talking about, that as we live, as we go through life, as year by year goes by, that our body, friends, we don't get stronger, do we? We don't get stronger, we get weaker. We get weaker. We realize that where somebody used to say something and we would readily hear it, find ourselves going, "What did you say?" We find these things fulfilling in ourselves, don't we? As we live and as we get older, we find that these things are so very true. But though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I'm glad today that everything is well with my soul. I know that everything is not well with my body. I know that it's not. My body is cursed with sin. And because of that, it's going to have to die. I know that things are not well with this shell, with this tabernacle that I live in. I know that things are not well, but I know that things are well with that which is inside. You know, we live today in a very health-conscious world, it seems. I don't know. Maybe I just don't remember things, you know, clearly. I don't know. But I think back to when I was a child, and I don't remember seeing as many people in shorts running up and down the street as there seems to be now. Maybe they didn't have spandex. I don't know. But it just didn't seem like people were as health conscious as they seem to be now. And I'm going to tell you the honest truth. I think it's great to be health conscious. I think we ought to do, you know, the best that we can to take care of the body that God gave to us. And I hope that you don't look at me and call me a hypocrite because I know I eat too much. But I think we ought to try to take care of that God gave us and exercise it and try to keep it in good working order. But remember this, that the Bible told us that it profits little to do that. Body exercise profits little. And I'm going to tell you something today, especially if you're here and you're lost. You ought to give heed, to give more care to that is within than what is without. You ought to be sure that your spirit, that your soul is well taken care of. And the only one that can do that is God. The only one that can save your soul is God. The only one that can fix your broken heart is God. And you need to go to Him and you need to pray that God would bind up your broken heart, that God would save your soul, because that part of you is going to live on for eternity after your body has long since returned to the dust. That part of you is going to be dwelling either in heaven if you're saved, in hell if you're lost. That part will exist forever without end. The body won't. People today, I'll tell you what, man, they really take care of the body, don't they? If part of it don't look right, they'll go get something implanted until it does. That's how vain that people are. It really is. I remember reading about one of the bodybuilders years ago. You know, he was lifting the weights, and he was, you know, going and flexing his muscles for the shows and everything. And I remember reading about he couldn't get his calves, you know, big enough. He couldn't get them, the muscles in his calves built up big enough for to show them off. So he just had things implanted in his calves and made them look bigger. I mean, that's how much people are concerned with the outward man. But you know what? No matter what you do to it, it's going to go back to the dust. No matter what you do, you could exercise like Jack LaLanne used to exercise, and you can crush up all of the fresh vegetables and drink the juice, and you can go on the best diet and the best exercise program that you could ever think of. Let me tell you this, the most that you could ever hope to accomplish is when they pass around and view your body, you'd be a healthy looking corpse. That's about the most that you could hope to accomplish in it. Truly, it is. People die in the prime, what you would say is the prime of their life. They die. We know it's true, don't we? People seem to be healthy. There doesn't seem to be anything wrong with them at all. And then all of a sudden, the next thing we know, that person died. They died. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You can read about Moses in the 34th chapter of Deuteronomy, verse 7. You can read about Moses and when God took him up there on Mount Pisgah to show him the promised land before he took his life from him. The Bible says that Moses died being 120 years old, and that his eye was not dim nor his natural force abated. For 120 years old, Moses was still in good physical condition. I'm sure that he wasn't in as good a shape as he was at the age of 40 when he killed that Egyptian there in Egypt for abusing that Israelite. But at 120 years old, he was still strong. He could still see well. But listen, he still gave up the ghost, and his body still returned to the dust. You're not going to live forever. None of us are going to live here in this world forever. Naturally, you're not going to live forever. Spiritually, those of us that are saved already have eternal life. We've already got it. Jesus came there to the tomb of Lazarus, and he told Martha, he said, "Martha, thy brother shall rise again." Imagine that. Imagine being at a funeral for somebody that you loved. That person had died, and you were grief-stricken, and you were broken-hearted, and Jesus walked up and said, "They'll live again. They'll rise again." That's what he did with Martha. He said, "Your brother will rise again." She said, "I know, Lord, that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said, "Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And he asked her, he said, "Do you believe this? Do you believe it today?" "I sure do. I'm living in the Lord. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Those of us that are saved have eternal life. those who are lost have the sentence of eternal death and damnation. And if you fail to repent of your sins and get right with God, that's how you'll spend your eternity. Don't push God away. You know, you won't ever get to God by running away from Him. You won't ever get to God by rejecting Him. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. You come to God, He'll come to you. And you'll meet at a beautiful juncture. I heard once about a sparrow, a little sparrow, sitting up on its perch. And it looked down at the ground at a morsel of bread. And they said, here was the thought of the sparrow. I'm a hungry sparrow, and there's a morsel of bread. These two go well together and should not be long apart. And he came down and he took the bread. And here's how, lost friend, you ought to look at it today. You ought to say, I am a wretched sinner. I'm a sinner lost in my sins. Here is a loving Savior that died for my sins, that wants to save me from my sins. These two go well together, and they should not be long apart. You ought to come to the Lord with all of your heart and seek Him for the salvation of your soul, because we're going back to the dust. Our bodies are going to return to the dust. God took us from it. We're going back to it. Just as sure as you're sitting here today, that outward man will return to the dust. But that spirit within you will not. It will not. We have an eternal existence. I know that's hard for people to understand in their mind, but you need to believe it in your heart, because we do have an eternal existence. If I leave this world today, you won't see me. You won't be able to look upon me and see me in the body the way that you can now. But if I leave this world today, I guarantee you I'll be very much alive. I'll be living in a better place. Let's stand and have a song. You need the Lord, because we don't know when that day is going to come when we'll return to the dust from where we were taken.